From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 22, when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms, praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce his own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. And at that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee and to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Perhaps you will remember a few weeks ago we reflected upon God's call to Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, to take the child and his mother and to flee into the land of Egypt. And this was the second time that God had given Joseph a direct message in Scripture. The first message, as many of us remember, came from the angel Gabriel, who said to Joseph, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child in her is a gift of the Holy Spirit." And as we reflected on those messages from God to Joseph, we also considered, what was it about Joseph? Why was he such a recipient? Why was God so eager to offer his message? As we search and look for strength and guidance on our journey, we relish to have that intimate relationship with God like Joseph, where we would know clearly the path for our life. As we're searching career decisions, as we're trying to make important decisions as a family, as we're dealing with challenges at work, wouldn't it be wonderful if God would lay the path out as clearly for all of us who are seeking as he did for Joseph, his servant? Those are the reflections that we considered a few weeks ago. And I think that this text today dives even a little deeper for us, seeking clarity and direction from God. Answers and truth from the servants in our text today, Simeon and Anna. You know, so often, I don't know about you all, but I want that earth-shaking answer from God. I pray and I say, God, I'm struggling with this decision or this direction in my life. Will you just make it crystal clear? And then I pray for the courage to follow. But oftentimes God doesn't just shake us or knock us upside the head to get our attention and write it as clearly as if it was words on a page individually for us. You know, we are no different, if you think, than the prophet Isaiah. Some of us are familiar with Isaiah's story in 1 Kings 19, where Isaiah had preached to the people Israel. He had brought down fire from heaven at the altar. The Baals, who the people had been worshipped to, those prophets were destroyed. And Isaiah, after that event, our scripture tells us, many of us know that story, that he fled because Jezebel, that old wicked queen, right? She was after him. She said, "Forbid it if I let the sun go down on me before Isaiah is wiped from the face of the earth." You remember how Isaiah responded to that? Isaiah became so depressed, so overwhelmed, that he wanted to lose his very life. He was ready to quit. He was ready to throw in the towel. He was at the point in depths of depression. He no longer, church, wanted to live. I don't know about you, but I find encouragement that a very prophet of God found himself at times at the depths of darkness that he didn't know if he could continue on. And you see, that, dear church, is when God searches us. And God speaks to us. When we, like Isaiah, are not only depressed, but we're stressed with work. In school, when we're overwhelmed with decisions that we need to make or challenges that we face, God comes to us with a message of strength and guidance for our journey. Now, here's the question, though. How does God speak to us? Oftentimes, God speaks to us in the same tone that our Lord spoke to Isaiah in 1 Kings. Do you remember that passage where it said there was an earthquake? And surely we're thinking, well, that's how God spoke to Isaiah. But the text says God wasn't in the earthquake. There was a wind. There was a wind so strong that it destroyed the rocks. But the scripture says that God wasn't in the wind. And finally it says to us, those words that are familiar to many of us, that God spoke to Isaiah in a still, small voice. So often, God speaks to us in a whisper. In a whisper in ways that are so quiet, but yet so clear that we don't even have to ask if that message is from God. Hasn't that happened to all of us? Maybe it was a word from a friend or a family member, or hearing a specific scripture that spoke directly to us, or as we sat in worship and the preacher, doing his best to pour his heart out, offered a message that we think came straight from heaven just for us. God so often speaks even today through that still, small voice of a whisper to us as saints in need. So I want to struggle and search this text today for God's whisper to us as illustrated through Simeon and Anna. And yes, I built for us an acronym, Jennifer, on the word whisper that reminds us how God's small voice He's spoken for us. When I think of the word whisper and that W in which we can hear more clearly God's still small voice, I, dear church, think of worship. How do we prepare ourselves to hear from God when we're seeking to make decisions, where we're wanting our marriage strengthened or our career sustained, if we want to be able to deal with the stress and depression, can we call it that, of life? Friends, the more fervent we are in worship, the more we're strengthened for our journey of life and faith. That's not preacher talk. That's not me telling you what I think I should say with the black robe on and standing behind the pulpit. That's a guy who's lived life without God central in worship. And that's a person who's made a commitment to worship and find strength for that journey weekly. I've told many of you that when Monya and I began our life together, we weren't active in worship. And then when we found a church home and made that weekly commitment to go and offer our thanksgiving to God for all the things that were right, it seemed that there were less things that were wrong. Worship is central to God speaking to us, as Simeon exemplified in our scripture today. It says in verses 27 through 28 that Simeon, one God who spoke to directly, right? Our text tells us that Simeon had received message from the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw God's Messiah. Now Simeon, you see what I'm saying, was a man in the heart of Joseph who had received a direct message from God. So what was it Simeon protected and cherished with his heart? His worship of his Lord. Our scripture says in verse 27 and 28 that he went into the temple, and when he saw the Christ child, he offered praise, or he worshiped. Also in our text today, we hear about Anna. Anna, the prophet, in verse 37, did you hear about her daily activities? Our scripture said that she, like Simeon, went to the temple every day to worship. Friends, there is power in this holy setting. There is power, there is miracles of grace that we experience during this sacred time on the Sabbath that we can experience nowhere else. I'm convinced of that. So friends, if you're searching to hear for from God, show up on Sunday. Make that intentional effort to offer your worship and your praise to the God who saved us and sustains us. And we too will hear more clearly God's whisper for our journey of life. The second letter a whisper is the H. And when I think of embodying the H in my search to hear God, I am called to humility. You see what Simeon did in our text today. It shares in verse 25. It tells us a little about his nature. And I see in Simeon the nature of humility. It says that he was righteous and devoted. If Simeon, check this out with me, consider the source. If Simeon was devoted to God, you know who he wasn't devoted to? Himself. If he was devoted to listening to God for guidance, he was not committed to listening to his own harebrained ideas. Boy, I get in trouble when I do that. I search and I pray for God to give me answers. And then if I'm not careful, Diane, what I'll start doing is saying, God, I've got a wonderful idea. If you'll just bless it and give me what I want, everything's going to be fine. But Simeon, in our text today, was devoted not so much to his desire, but to God's. Friends, when we devote ourselves to serving and searching the Lord's plan for our life, we will hear more clearly the still small voice of God and practice our faith in the spirit of Simeon. The next letter in whisper is the letter I. And when I think of the I of listening for God, I think that I reminds me that we, dear church, searching to hear from God need to be intentional. Don't just hope that it happens. Don't just wonder if by accident we'll hear a message from God. May we as servants of our Lord be intentional in pursuing God's still small voice. Now how do we be intentional? Our scripture tells us. Our scripture says in verse 37, when it speaks of Anna the prophet, did you hear one of her spiritual disciplines? Our text tells us that she fasted probably daily, if not daily, regularly. You know when we fast. As we approach the season of Lent coming up in just a few months, it's that intentional time. It's the reminder to us to set a time apart with God in prayer that is sacred. It's a reminder. As I had dinner last night, Manya and I with Noah and Sage, and we were talking about a certain event that Noah needs to do. I said, put it in your phone, son. Put it in your calendar. And that way you don't have to worry about remembering. You'll be intentional with that reminder. That's why when things are important to us, when Norris Howell has a patient he wants to see, those who help run his office and run him, right, Doc? They put it on the calendar because they want to be intentional about serving the needs of their patients. Friends, if we're intentional about our work, if Nancy Noakes, I still call her Noakes, I don't know about y'all, Nancy Noakes, LaBrier, wants to take care of a customer's needs at Bancorp South, she's not going to just hope she remembers. She's going to put it in her planner. She's going to send them an email. She's going to be intentional about that. If we treat our business that way, why wouldn't we treat our desire to hear from God that way? May we be more intentional in our search to hear God's still small voice. Embody those spiritual disciplines. And what are those spiritual disciplines beyond prayer? Aren't we glad we asked? The next letter of the whisper is the S. We search the scriptures. God speaks to us often through this holy word in a way that opens clarity and direction for us that we'd never considered before. Just this morning, I referenced it as the men of our church met for our monthly breakfast. We had a speaker from Gideon's International. And Eric Melton shared to us that that little testament that they give out in the schools, as an average, it touches about 3,000 lives. Without them reflecting upon the text, just simply giving God's word to a people in need. There is power in our Lord's Holy Scripture. Did you hear in our text today that Joseph and Mary, the mother and father of Jesus, they embodied a surrender to God's scripture. It said that the law said that each family should take their firstborn child and take them to be consecrated to the Lord. And then the text ends by saying, after they'd done everything according to the law, they went home and grew in wisdom and stature, did our Lord. Friends, there is holy guidance in God's word for us. Embrace that scripture daily. Search it for truth, for comfort, for guidance in our journey. And we too will hear more clearly God's still small voice. And next, the P, the other spiritual discipline. You know where I'm going with this one. It's for prayer. Our text tells us that Anna in our text today prayed daily. That Simeon indeed sought to listen from God by setting time apart to be still. In prayer, friends, it's not only, hear me now, church, prayer is not only, and in fact, maybe it's safe to say, Brother Steve, it's not so much about what we say to God as prayer is offering God a time to say something to us. May we embody the spirit of Anna and be fervent in our prayer. The E of the whisper. When I think of the letter E, I think of us being earnest in our desire to hear from God. What does it mean to be earnest? To be earnest is to be disciplined, to embody something daily. If I want to strengthen my muscles and I go to the gym once a week, now that'll help a little bit maybe. It might help to maintain. But if I really want to strengthen those muscles, I'm going to be earnest. I'm going to go every day, right? I'll build my strength. I'll be sustained for the journey. Well, friends, that certainly translates to our spiritual strength as well. And here's what else I think it does. The more I search to hear from God, the better I'm going to understand God's dialect, His tone of voice, and message for me. You know, if we don't talk to someone on the phone but once a year, if they call us and just start talking, we haven't spoken to them in a year, what are, our mind's going to be racing. We'll be, who is this? I know I've heard that voice before, but I can't figure it out. But if my dear friend Kerry Elliott called you every day, you would never have a problem figuring out who he was when he called, right? You would know his voice. If we are earnest in our desire to hear from God, we will hear more clearly God's voice for us. It's not a coincidence, as the text said, that Anna went into the holy temple daily and sought voice from her Lord. And then finally, the R of whisper. How do we hear God's voice? Our text tells us, as we began this passage today, that Simeon was a righteous and devout man. So to hear more clearly in the spirit of Simeon, we want to be righteous in our faith. But we've got a real problem, church. We're not righteous. Our scripture tells us, one of Judge Eliot's favorites and mine, from Romans chapter 3:10, Paul said this, no one is righteous, no, not one. But Paul would go on to say in that beautiful chapter that we are made righteous, not in ourselves, but by putting our trust in Jesus Christ, who became righteousness for us all. Is our God that good? That if we really want to be righteous in our Lord Jesus Christ, all it means, Lamont, is putting our trust more in Him and less in us. So friends, the beginning of hearing God's voice to guide our life, the beginning of hearing God's direction to strengthen our family, the beginning of making career decisions and business choices daily and leading our teams to victory, is to setting our righteousness, or in other words, our trust, not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ, our gracious Lord. When we do these things, when we worship, when we humble ourselves, when we intentionally seek, when we study the scriptures, when we pray and we earnestly pursue to trust in Jesus' righteousness daily, dear church, we will hear more closely and clearly God's whisper of love and life. Amen.